This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me on a weekly basis. And I welcome any of your questions, topics of interest, comments. Email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I have a question. I have an email, actually, from Priscilla. Priscilla writes, "Love your podcast, Layla." Thank you, Priscilla, and thank you for listening. At 11 p.m., I take melatonin most nights and sleep for 2 hours. When I awake, I take 5-HTP, fall back to sleep, but awaken 2 hours later, at which time I take another 5-HTP. I will sleep for another 2 hours and then take 200 milligrams of L-theanine and will sleep until 7:30 p.m. So 11, you sleep for 2 hours, you wake up at 1, you take 5-HTP, and then you wake up at 3, you take another 5-HTP, you sleep for another 2 hours, then at 5, you take 200 milligrams of L-theanine, and you sleep until 7:30. I read in medical journals that interrupted sleep can lead to dementia. At the least, it is not good for optimum health. I'm 77 years old, exercise by hiking and biking, eat low carb. What is your opinion about what I need to take to get sleep? Thank you. Priscilla, thank you for your question. Sleep becomes more and more of a problem as we get older, but it doesn't necessarily have to. That doesn't have to be the case. Let me talk a little bit about the sleep cycles. Our real restorative sleep occurs between 11 and about 2 a.m., 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. That's our real restorative deep, I believe it's like a delta 4 wave sleep. You're not dreaming yet. And then sleep cycles, by the way, last about 90 minutes. So this would be the first two sleep cycles, right? And then after that, the following 90-minute sleep cycles, you get more and more dream sleep. That REM sleep happens after the delta 4 wave sleep, that very deep restorative sleep. And that REM sleep, as we get closer to morning, as we go through our sleep cycles during the night, the REM sleep, the rapid eye movement, the dream sleep becomes more apparent, and that part of our sleep cycle actually lasts longer. So if you notice that you remember the dreams that you have early in the morning, you know, sometime after 3 a.m., 4 a.m., that's why. Because REM sleep is happening more, with more frequency and longer duration during those 90-minute sleep cycles. So that's what's happening there. However, Priscilla is 77 years old. And we do know that as we get older, especially amongst elderly population, those sleep cycles become shorter and shorter, and sleep can become disrupted. Let me talk about a few things with regard to what else may be hampering Priscilla's sleep. First of all, Priscilla, are you a user of caffeine? You know, coffee, tea, even green tea has some caffeine. What about other soft drinks that may contain caffeine? You eat low carb. I imagine you don't drink sodas like Mountain Dew, which contain caffeine. Maybe you're having some good organic decaf iced tea during the day, or iced coffee or something like that. Even though they're decaffeinated, they still contain as much as 5 to 10% caffeine. And if we're having a few cups, they can still adversely impact us. That's number one. Chocolate also contains caffeine. Sorry, chocolate lovers, but even that good quality dark chocolate, and the darker it is, I think the more potent it is for some people, or they tend to feel the effects more. At least this is what is reported to me by many of my patients, so I just find it interesting and fascinating. Now, Priscilla, there are certain medications that may contain caffeine. Are you taking a decongestant, an antihistamine? These can contain caffeine. If you were a user of DayQuil during cold and flu season or anything like that, the daytime medicine is meant to keep us awake, may contain small amounts of caffeine. So my recommendation is, if you're having any caffeine at all, have it all before noon. In other words, the morning cup of coffee or tea, and not anything after noon. I'll tell you, I have anecdotes of people who will not sleep that night if they consume even a cup of weak coffee or tea after noon on any given day. I would also want to know about your adrenal function. Is your cortisol too high? What role is stress playing in your life? When we have a high cortisol level, that wakes us up in the middle of the night for no good reason, like every couple of hours, especially starting around 2 or something like that, which is very interesting. Cortisol not only happens from stress, it can become a vicious cycle when our cortisol is high because we're not getting enough sleep, which may be the case with Priscilla. We don't know. In addition, cortisol is also raised by, again, caffeine, but something else, alcohol. Priscilla, if you enjoy a glass of red wine or a cocktail or white wine or anything else, even a few times a week, that can impact sleep. I know very well from patients and clients that even if they have one glass of wine, many of them, they'll wake up in the middle of the night for no good reason. And what's happening there is blood sugar is falling during the night and cortisol is coming up. But why did that blood sugar fall like that? Because of that evening glass of wine. Whether it's with dinner, after dinner, before dinner, it can still adversely impact your sleep. The other thing, sleep hygiene. Let me go through a little bit of sleep hygiene here because it's very, very important. Priscilla, I would ask you, what is your bedtime routine? What is the last thing you're doing before you go to bed at night? The worst thing we can do is get ourselves stimulated by the blue light of our electronic appliances. You know, your phone, your smartphone, our electronic gadgets, your tablet, your iPad, your computer. A lot of people are going online, doing their Facebook, reading emails, etc., etc., looking at their phone. Some people even go to bed with their phone. So if they get a signal or anything like that, if their Facebook is updating, if they're getting a text or an email which they may deem important, they're looking at it. These are one of the worst things we could do at night. That blue light is adversely impacting your sleep by not letting melatonin do its job, even the melatonin you've taken. As a rule, me, what I do, and I sleep like a baby, what I do is I make sure there's no device in the bedroom at all. I don't even look at email after a certain hour, like 7:30, 8 o'clock. I just don't go there. I shut it all down. I also make sure I'm dimming the lights by the time it gets dark outside, because it's important. Our circadian rhythms are based on daylight and nighttime. And if we're keeping ourselves awake because we have too much artificial light on in our homes, we need to start dimming them as it gets dim outside, as we go from dusk to darkness. So that's also very important. Not looking at those gadgets. Also, when we're sleeping, you want to make sure, first of all, in the bedroom, No electronic gadgets at all that you're going to look at that have blue light. Even your digital clock radio, if you have one, should not be pointed towards you, but away from you. So you're not seeing that blue, red, or green light. And of those three lights I mentioned on a clock radio, blue is the worst, red, second worst. The green light is probably best. That's what's on mine, but it's never pointed in the direction of my head. It's always pointed away and far enough away on the nightstand. No TVs in the bedroom. No computers in the bedroom. And when you go to bed, draw the blinds, close the shades. Make sure that there's no light, whether it's street lamp or moonlight. Make sure there's no light seeping through at all through your windows. Get blackout curtains if you must. This is very important. Some people are also helped using an eye mask at night. My sister uses an eye mask. She sleeps beautifully. So these are some things. Another very important thing, Priscilla, and for everybody listening, the temperature of the bedroom optimally for sleep should be between 60 and 68 degrees Fahrenheit. Not warmer than 68 degrees Fahrenheit. When the bedroom is too warm, what happens is that warmth wakes us up. When we go to sleep every night, we go into a little mini hibernation, I like to call it. What happens is our core temperature comes down a couple of degrees, and that decrease in our core temperature helps us to remain sleeping. But if the bedroom is too warm, that core temperature can't stay as low as our bodies would prefer to stay asleep. So managing the temperature of the bedroom is very, very, very important. Don't take a midday nap if your sleep is fragmented the way Priscilla's is. Priscilla, I wonder, if you take an afternoon nap, it should never be more than 20 to 30 minutes. Some people are taking an hour and a half, 2 hour midday nap. That's going to adversely affect your nighttime sleep. Believe me, it's true. So, sleep hygiene, those things, not looking at your electronic gadgets, the blue light keeps your pineal gland from making melatonin or from the melatonin you take from really doing its job. Priscilla, I would wonder the amount of melatonin you take at bedtime. It could be anywhere from 1 milligram to 5 milligrams. The 5-HTP you're taking is a nice precursor to serotonin. And when serotonin is doing its job, it goes on to become melatonin. But Priscilla, another thing to check about any medications you take is not just about caffeine, but it's also about adverse impacts on serotonin. Certain psychiatric drugs like SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, you know, your Prozac, your Paxil, any of those. If you're on an antidepressant, a side effect of that is a lack of sleep. Because serotonin on antidepressants, that serotonin is kept within the synapse of two neurons, for example. Instead of floating on through, it's kind of kept in the synapse, in that gap between the two nerve cells. So it's giving the brain the indication, it's giving our brains the indication that everything is fine, there's enough serotonin here, feel good. But naturally, without an antidepressant, serotonin just doesn't hang out in that gap. It does its job. It talks between neurons. It gets fired between all of our neurotransmitters. And serotonin evolves then to become melatonin. And if serotonin is there hanging out in the gap, it's not going to go on to become melatonin, which is critical for our sleep, right? So, if you're taking an antidepressant, and I know a lot of elderly people are, Priscilla, I'm not saying that's you, but check your medications. Check for caffeine content. You know, inquire. Look at drugs.com. Look at Dr. Leo Gallen's pill-advised pillowadvised.com. That's pillowadvised, to see if there are any interactions. In addition, if there's any side effects, rather, to the drugs you're taking, if insomnia may be one of them, or overexcitability, if any of these contain a stimulant, check in with your doctor about what you could do, or at least change the time of day that you take your dose. Maybe you'd be better off taking certain medications in the morning rather than later. Priscilla, I can tell you're a very healthy, active 77-year-old. You tell me that you hike and you bike, you eat low carb. There's no doubt in my mind you're a very youthful 77-year-old, except for the sleep issue, which adversely impacts quality of life. I hear you. The other thing that I would check are your supplements. Check your there are certain supplements that can be very, very energizing. B-complex vitamins, especially B12, can be very energizing. DHEA, if you're taking DHEA because you're low or your adrenals are low, or you know that it helps bone health, and I hope if you are taking DHEA that you're being supervised by a healthcare practitioner who knows how to check for DHEA levels. It is a hormone after all. Certain other supplements, some people have reported to me that they are easily buzzed by taking green tea extract, like EGCG. Take that supplement earlier in the day. Take DHEA B-complex earlier in the day. Are you taking different metabolic enhancing supplements like niacel, nicotinamide riboside? You may be better off taking that earlier in the day. So keep that in mind, as well as CoQ10 or ubiquinol. I find actually ubiquinol is even more energizing than CoQ10 personally. I like to take that earlier in the day. As well, try Glycom. Priscilla, if you haven't already, you're taking all the other ones. You're taking melatonin, 5-HTP-L-theanine. You're taking these very good supplements for sleep. However, Glycom is the particular supplement that helps us to stay asleep. Let me explain. Glycom contains the amino acid glycine. Now, our bodies naturally make glycine endogenously. Our bodies make small amounts of glycine. By taking glycine in the product Glycom in a supplement, and what you do is at bedtime, not in the middle of the night, but at bedtime, take one or two, go to sleep. What glycine does, remember that core temperature I talked about a few moments ago? It helps that core temperature to stay down so that you stay asleep. We're not always a stagnant 98.6, and even that temperature varies throughout the day. At night, it comes down a couple degrees. It may come down to 96. 95.8, something like that. It's kind of supposed to happen that way because that's our mini hibernation. You hear about bears hibernating in winter. When they hibernate, they stay sleeping because of the action of their core temperature becoming lower. It's not a state of hypothermia, which can be dangerous. However, that core temperature getting low as we sleep to help us continue staying asleep is very, very important, especially for the quality of sleep. So try Glycom. It's G-L-Y-S-O-M, G-L-Y-S-O-M. Start with one. You can increase it to two and see how that works for you. Priscilla, feel free to email me back and let me know what's happening there. Now, with regard to we talked about caffeine. We talked about side effects of medications. We talked about certain supplements that may be very energizing. And you know what? Some of us will have paradoxical reactions to certain supplements. Oh, I take that and I get very sleepy and I don't know why. Oh, another thing, Priscilla, I would mention you take is take a magnesium supplement sometime after dinner if you don't already. I know magnesium taurate is very good for blood pressure health, for mitral valve prolapse, for endothelial function, the function of our arteries and our veins. And magnesium also has a very, very sedating effect. But beyond that, have your adrenals checked. You may need to have a salivary cortisol test, and you could find that with a practitioner, an integrative nutritionist or doctor near you. So that could also help you out. Getting all these things checked out is helpful. The review of your medications, trying Glycem. Sleep hygiene is imperatively important. I can't stress that enough. You should not have any light coming on through the windows. I don't want night lights in your bedroom. Now, let me clarify by saying, I also don't want you to get up in the middle of the night if you have to use the bathroom to trip and fall. So a nightlight in your corridor, in your hallway, maybe even a nightlight in your bed, in your bathroom is appropriate. I don't want any lights blinking at you or any source of light in the bedroom. But do monitor how you ambulate if you do get up in the middle of the night. I don't want you tripping and falling down. So this is my advice for sleepless nights. If at all, if you've checked out all of these things, Priscilla, and you're still not asleep, and you're not sleeping through the night, and you're not waking up rested and refreshed, get your thyroid checked. If you have an underactive thyroid, it could adversely impact your sleep. Some people sleep a lot and can't get enough sleep, but some people, they don't sleep well at all. Their sleep is interrupted. Ask your doctor to check your thyroid thoroughly. A thyroid panel, TSH, T4, T3, even a reverse T3, free T4 as well. You know, have all of these things checked out. And I really think I've exhausted this matter without you actually having to see a practitioner, Priscilla. So anyway, I wish you well. Thank you for writing me. And let me know how it goes. For anyone else who'd like to email me any topic of interest or a general question like this, email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.